It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
For our regular catch-up, I spoke to Karen Chua about the Green Party's pledge to renters, which includes a proposal to introduce a renters' rights bill, the Human Rights Commission's two-year inquiry into housing, an ACT policy for 17-year-old defendants to face trial in adult court. Here is that interview. The Green Party has said that if elected, they would introduce a renters' rights bill in the first 100 days of government, aimed at ensuring that everyone who rents has a safe, healthy and affordable home. So one part of this is they've proposed limiting how much landlords can increase rent each year to no more than 3%. What is ACT's stance on this?
Oh, look, if more obligations were the answers to fixing the problems with housing, then surely they should be fixed by now. In the last 5 years, we've had healthy homes, we've had making evictions harder, we've had the bright line test extended, we've had removing mortgage interest deductibility, we've had more restrictions placed on landlords, and the problem's actually growing. The list of people that are actually on our emergency housing or just trying to get housing has grown, and people are waiting years to be able to get this housing. So honestly, if more red tape was the answer, this problem should be solved by now. And if you look at it, we've got a housing problem and we need to actually have legislation that's going to fix the housing problem. And if you put more obligations on landlords like this, all you're going to do is actually limit the amount of houses that are available to rent. We've tried this as well, and to say not to bring up landlords not to be able to increase the rent is a little bit weird when we've got Kāinga Ora offering higher amounts of money to private landlords to take on some of these tenants. And those landlords still won't take on those tenants for the more money. The issue is actually dealing with the problems that come with these people.
And the Greens would also introduce a national register of all landlords and property managers, which would aim to show how many properties they're renting, who owns them, how much rent has changed over time, and compliance with their proposed rental warrant of fitness. So do you think that there's a need for landlords to be held accountable for ensuring their properties meet acceptable standards?
Well, we already have the Healthy Home Standard. And if it's not being enforced, then let's deal with that issue instead of bringing in more rules and regulations. Because if they can't even enforce the Healthy Home Standard the way it is, how are they going to enforce all this extra red tape that they're planning on bringing in? This is going to cost money to implement. This is going to create huge amounts of bureaucracy with actually probably no better outcomes at the end of the day. And so you need to come up with better policy. And ACT has come up with policy in regards to this. We've got reforming the RMA Act on property rights, with the presumption that you can develop your land as long as you're not annoying or encroaching on your immediate neighbour's property. We've got sharing the half of the GST collected on residential builds, so council will have more incentive to allow you to build more homes. We've got allowing builders to opt out of council inspections, which takes so long that people actually take longer to get permission to build than actually build, as long as the builder or the developer has private insurance on those builds. And we also have the policy on reversing these anti-landlord policies around evictions, bright line tests and mortgage interest deductibility. Because the more pressure you put on someone that's providing a service and the more expensive you make it for someone providing a service, the more expensive they're going to make it for the person purchasing that service. And that's what's happened. And that's why rents are out of control. And we need to start looking at the actual problem instead of creating more red tape and bureaucracy.
The Greens have said that currently in Aotearoa, we don't know how many properties are being rented. Do you see this as a problem?
Well, actually, I see the problem being that we do have a lot of landlords that may not be renting out their houses. They may be sitting there because the landlord probably might not be able to afford to bring those houses up to the Healthy Home Standard. And maybe they're doing it slowly. I know a couple of landlords that are doing that. They haven't been able to afford the full cost of bringing that home up to the Healthy Home Standard. So it sits empty while they are managing to make that up to the Healthy Home Standard. So it's not always necessarily because the landlord is leaving that house empty. It may be because they don't have the resources or the time to be able to fix that home up. So there's lots of different reasons why some houses aren't out to rent. But I don't understand how that register is actually going to help bring more houses onto the market.
And the Human Rights Commission has recently released a 2-year inquiry into housing, and Human Rights Commissioner Paul Hunt has said that while multiple governments have agreed to binding international treaties which include the right to decent housing, that not enough has been done to improve people's living conditions. So what do you think about this finding?
You know what? This is a 2-year review, and it hasn't really come up with any policy that's actually going to make a difference. There's a lot of sound bites in there saying that housing's a human right and a lot of other stuff in there, but they haven't actually come up with any solutions to the problem. They've spent 2 years telling us what they think the problem is. The issue that I have with some of these commissions is they have a whole lot of time and spend a whole lot of money writing reports that actually aren't worth the paper they're written on, because where are the solutions? What are you actually trying to do? And what is your role? And half of these commissions that we're talking about, their role is just to tell the government what they think is happening. But actually, do they make a difference in the long run to actually making life better for these people who are trying to find a home? And I actually think that this report has taken a whole lot of time and a whole lot of money, and it is actually meaningless. Because to have a house and to say it's a human right is all well and good, but you have to actually have people that are willing to fulfil the duty of providing you with a house. And a lot of these people are private landlords that sometimes are mum and dad investors that are just trying to set up a secure life for themselves in the future, and they're being portrayed as the boogeyman. And we need to actually look at what the issue is. There's not enough houses, and how are we going to build more houses?
Does ACT believe that housing is a human right?
Oh, we don't want to see anyone homeless. We don't want to see people on the streets. And the problem is we've seen a whole lot of regulation that's been put in the last 5 years. And has that actually put more people in homes? Is the problem fixed? Have we actually had any meaningful change in this area? And no, we haven't. Actually, the list for people wanting kāinga ora housing or emergency housing has astronomically grown. It hasn't dealt with the actual underlying issue of not enough houses. And so that's where we're focusing on, because if you deal with that problem, you actually solve the problem of people not having a roof over their head.
But do you believe that housing is a human right in Aotearoa?
I mean, it depends. And throwing around that word, housing is a human right, I mean, what does that actually mean? Actually define what you mean by housing as a human right, because you have people sitting in motels right now that have a roof over their head. Is that housing? If you have people sitting in transitional housing that don't know whether they're going to be there next week or whether they're Arthur or Martha, is that actually providing them with the human right of housing? I actually don't think it is. And I think if we deal with the housing issue, which is there are not enough homes to house the people in New Zealand, then we will deal with that issue and people will have a roof over their head. But you actually, having a house and a human right of having a house, it sounds great, but someone has to fulfil the duty of actually providing you with that housing. And if you constantly attack the people that are actually providing that housing, you're actually making the problem worse for these people. I don't want to see people on the streets. I don't want to see people homeless. And I sure as heck don't want to see people trying to raise their families in a motel. And that's why we've come up with actual policy to make a difference, to put people in houses, because we will make sure that the houses are being built.
I also wanted to talk to you about ACT's calls for 17-year-olds to be tried in adult courts, and this would revert a law that ACT helped National put in place. So why have you changed your mind on this?
You know, I've always said it's actually a good idea to if you are wrong, and if something is not right, that it's okay to admit that you were wrong. What's not okay is to keep continuing down the road of things not working because we're too proud to admit that something's gone wrong. And something has gone wrong here. And we have communities that are absolutely terrified right now. We have workers going into work in the morning not knowing if they're going to go home safe at night. And a lot of these issues are created by young people who are not being held account for the crimes that they're committing. A person doesn't feel the difference if a hammer's been wielded at them if the person's 17 years old or 20 years old. It still causes the same damage. And we need to start looking at the victims of these crimes. And we need to also make sure that the people that are going into the prison system are provided with the rehabilitation as well once they get in there. But we can't keep doing what we're doing. Our communities are terrified. I go around the country and the number one issue people are talking about is being frightened. And crime is on the top of the minds of most people.
What evidence do you have that tougher penalties prevent young people from being involved in crime?
A lot of these young people have actually come out, and I will admit, have come out through some pretty terrible childhoods, and have come through the system that has let them down. But that can't take away the fact that they are creating new victims in the community, and we can't allow them to stay in the community and create more victims. And we can't have 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds in our youth justice system. It's just not working. I have youth justice workers that contact me and say that we can't have these young adults in with our young people because it's actually creating more harm than good within those facilities. We've seen it with them climbing into the roof cavities and creating problems. We've seen that with the youth justice officers. I mean, there's 118% rise in assaults on our youth justice workers. We have to start saying that is enough is enough and your behaviour will have consequences. We were told that this would not stop these young people from being charged when they commit heinous crimes. But what we've seen is it hasn't changed any of the stats. Nothing has got better for these young people. It hasn't changed anything. What has changed is our communities are scared. Our communities are being attacked constantly. Every day we're seeing another ram raid or another person being harmed. And a lot of this is being done by young people. And we need to say enough is enough.
Does ACT support any alternative measures that focus on crime prevention?
Well, of course. I'm not saying I want to see 17-year-olds put in jail. That's the last thing I want to see happening. But I also think that, you know, when they are creating victims, that there needs to be a consequence. But we do have to deal with it from the beginning, and we haven't been doing that well. And we are working on, we have got policy on that I can't talk about today. I'm very sorry, because it hasn't been announced yet. But there is policy that will be coming out pretty soon, where we will speak to how we will deal with prevention so that they don't get to the point where they're ending up in front of a judge and being locked behind bars. Because I think we should stop setting up our young people to fail, and that the system hasn't worked, and that there are ways that we can prevent them from getting to that point in the first place.
And do you think that it could be seen as contradictory that you believe 17-year-olds should be considered adults when it comes to crime, but not when it comes to voting?
Look, I'm looking at this from the point of, if you are a victim of somebody and they are beating you up, or they are ram raiding your shop, or they're swinging a hammer at your head, it doesn't matter whether they're 17 or 20 years old. The damage is still the same, and there actually needs to be consequences. We need to actually stop this. We need to start being victim-centric instead of offender-centric. It's gone too far. In our streets, people do not feel safe. And this is one way where we can start to deal with the issue and get these people off the streets that are actually harming and hurting people.
That was ACT's Karen Shaw discussing renters' rights and ACT's approach to youth offenders.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Shaw.
We'll be right back after this short break. Keep it on the beat.